From the Centre for Public Christianity, you're listening to Life and Faith. I'm Natasha Moore.
And I'm Simon Smart.
Well, she was Indonesia's first ever supermodel, gracing the catwalks of Paris, Milan and New York for designers like Yves Saint Laurent and Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Every year, Elite Model Look scours the globe in search of the hottest new modelling talent. From Argentina to Zambia, no stone is left unturned.
When she was just 14 years old, Tracy Trinita entered the Elite Model Look competition.
This is it. I am so proud and so happy of what you did during these 12 days. In 5 minutes, your big dream will come true.
Winning this competition would give her the life she'd always hoped for, a life of glamour, riches, fame. And she imagined, of course, that all of this would bring her happiness.
Please welcome to the stage 75 of the world's most beautiful women.
You're being watched, you're being judged.
The winner is...
Tracy won the competition, signed an international modelling contract, moved to New York and started living her big dream.
I arrived in JFK Airport in Manhattan, in New York. They forgot to pick me up. So that was my very first experience of New York, is that I was in the airport for 12 hours waiting for someone to pick me up and no one picks me up.
Tracy's retired from modelling now. In fact, she was in Australia recently on a speaking tour with City Bible Forum, giving talks about fashion, identity and a Christian faith. But how did a Balinese schoolgirl whose nickname in Indonesia meant smelly fish find herself on the runway for some of the world's biggest fashion houses?
I'm a first daughter of three siblings. I have two younger siblings, sister Laura, brother Lorenzo, my dad from Brazil, mom Indonesian, and they met in Bali. And I live 5 minutes away from the beach when I was small. It's a very nice life.
Yeah, yeah. Get to the beach a lot?
Every single day after school, after lunch, yes.
Nice. And at 14, you moved to New York, up sticks, left your family, moved across the world. Was this your dream?
Well, you know, modeling, it wasn't my dream. It was my mother's dreams for me. I have such a low self-esteem when I was small, when I was preteens. And my mom thinks that maybe by being a model, it will boost my confidence. So she's the one who actually entered me into modeling world. But what's funny is that once I actually engaged with modeling world, because I won 3 modeling competitions, and I got contract to work with Elite Model Management in New York City, she's the one who actually afraid for me to go there. But the reason why I insist is because it's so funny. When I enter modeling world, I realize that for the first time I feel important. For the first time I feel I'm somebody. For the first time I feel I'm loved by people. And that was, I thought this is the key to happiness, to become model and to be famous and to have more money. Maybe this is will add more to my dose of happiness that I needed.
So, Tracy, I want to ask you about that life that you entered into there. Was it all that you'd hoped it to be? And what were some of the good parts of that life? And then we might ask you as well, what were some of the downsides? But what was it like?
Modeling world is extremely exciting. For me, it was a window to the world. I don't think my parents will ever allow me to go to more than 30 countries with my dad's money. So it's good to actually have financial independence. And it's really great opportunity to meet lots of people from different cultural, different background. And every single day is never the same. Either there's lots of auditions or amazing setting of work when you do photo shoot. Sometimes they took you to exotic places. And lots of traveling, meeting lots of amazing people.
Yeah, well, it sounds pretty good, but what about the downsides to it? Because there's some challenges as well, right?
Of course. I think in every job, I'm sure there's ups and downs. But for me, seeing modeling, and I'm sure models would agree with this, is that people often think that the world is so glamour because in the magazine, in the TV, they always display it as like party, always happy, everything's nice, you always dress with a beautiful dress, and you always have everything that you needed. I think people forget that to get that, it's so much hard work, and the hard work is actually really hard work. It's a 9-to-5 kind of job. You have to constantly do auditions until you get to the job. And of course, from 100 auditions, let's suppose maximum job I can get is 10. So 90 people rejected me on daily basis. And that was first. And second, you miss out amazing event. in your household, you know, your family birthdays and all the celebrations. And third, sometimes it can be lonely because you're far from friends and family and you're constantly meeting new people, but they never stay in the same area more than a week sometimes.
Is there a sort of superficiality to the life as well, would you say?
I would say that because we work in industry where we display or we project certain kind of lifestyle, we end up trying to believe that's true for us. I mean, I'm wearing expensive items every day for the photo shoots, something that can cost like $100,000, $50,000. And because of that, I start to think like, that's the way I'm supposed to dress. That's what I'm supposed to have. I ended up, lots of models actually ended up shopping more than what they, I mean, like they spend so much money on the luxury things that they shouldn't buy because that's just your work. That's not you. So I think lots of young people cannot separate between the professional being a model and also the lifestyle as a model.
Now, you've described a kind of emptiness that you felt at some point along the time in what does look from the outside a very glamorous lifestyle. But what was essentially missing for you?
I have the glimpse of happiness when I won the competitions, when people start to applaud me, people start to appreciate my work, and I felt like, wow, this is really the key to happiness. If I have more money, if I have more fame, I'll be happier. Years went by, and I remember being in New York City. From career-wise, it was really good because I was doing lots of campaign in the magazine, doing fashion week, and in financial-wise, I have more than enough money, and yet there's something missing, and I felt this emptiness. I couldn't picture, I couldn't understand at that time, like, what's going on. But the feeling is that, like, sometimes coming home when I really being myself is a void. It's, like, really empty in the heart. Like, there is nothing I can fill in. I try to go shopping. I try to go party. I try to travel. I thought I was homesick, but it wasn't because even when I'm at home, I still felt this emptiness. For sometimes I try to forget about it. I don't want to deal with it. I think this is just going to pass, you know, like every season in life. But it grew bigger and bigger and bigger and to the point that it really hurts. I cannot enjoy life anymore.
So how did that change?
You know, it was really hard because I tried to find the solution to this emptiness because I cannot enjoy my work. I cannot enjoy my life. I cannot enjoy my friendship. I cannot enjoy my relationship. And I was like, oh my goodness, what's happening? What's happening with me? I did ask people. I want to find, like, when I met a few models, I asked them, like, hey, have you ever felt this way? And some of them said, like, that's normal. I'm like, phew, that's normal.
Does that help?
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, okay, if it's normal, what's the solution then? And some of them said, Trace, just forget about it, you know, like, just use drugs. But I'm scared of the consequences of using drugs or having free lifestyle. So I was like, no, I don't really want to do that. Even to the point my friend looked at me frustrated with all my questions. And she said, like, Trace, if you don't want to live, just die. And I'm like, I don't know where I'm going if I die. So this is the kind of suggestion that people keep saying to me, maybe half joke, half truth. But for me, the world gives a solution that is not really the answer to the question of my heart. It's like, how can I feel this emptiness?
You're listening to Life and Faith from the Center for Public Christianity. If you've just joined us, we're speaking with Tracy Trinita about her life as Indonesia's first supermodel.
So later you're living in Paris and you start going along to a church. How did that happen and what did you find there?
Only when I look back, I realized that was actually the answer to my prayer because before I moved to Paris in New York City, I prayed this prayer like, God, the one who made the universe and everything in it, please reveal yourself to me. I was waiting for a voice or an answer, but I thought God didn't exist or he doesn't listen to my prayer, but he answered in his way, not in my way. When I went to Paris, a friend of mine took me to church, and there's something different about people in the church. There's not much makeup, there's no lighting on their face, but their face look glowing and happy. And I wonder, are they happy because they know God? Are they happy because they're in a relationship? Because they have this faith? And that started to trigger lots of questions in my head. But at the same time, there's something within me. It's like, don't easily believe. You have to ask the question. You have to find out more before you believe. So something holding me back, but I'm also curious.
You had a sort of interesting background with your family and different religious influences on you, didn't you?
Yes, it's so unique because when I was small, everybody is actually quite religious around me. My grandpa Muslim, my grandma's Christians, my family in Brazil are Catholic, and in Bali we have a Hindu temple at home. I always feel like it's beautiful for them, but I don't want to be involved. Even though there's desire in my heart, maybe it's a good thing for me, but there's something like within me just push it back. Like, I just don't want to get too serious with the religion. But then there was also the confusion time when I was in Paris, like, which religion that should I believe in because of this mixed belief system in my big family. That brought me to questioning every belief systems that I have to do my homework and find out which one is stand the test of time and truth. Yeah.
And then eventually you come to a point of accepting Christian faith. What was it that you found compelling at that moment that drew you in?
I have few belief systems that I put next to each other and I ask the same questions and I want to know their answer. For me, the Christian faith, it's so profoundly touched my heart and my mind, and really that I never thought that God can be so personal. There is always belief, like when I studied this, all this belief system is God is so distant, God is out there, He watch over you, He will punish you one day, or you will receive whatever you've done on earth. Never heard such a beautiful story of God so loved the world that He comes to the world and to die on the cross, and whoever believes in Him will have eternal life in Him. And not only that, but also the story of Jesus when He come to the world, such a personal God that really touched the heart of people who were neglected by the society, who's unwanted, and who just felt like left out. And it's not only a theory, it feels so real because I felt the love of God as I journeying and getting to know the Bible and asking questions about Jesus. I was skeptic about Him. I have so much doubt about Him. I don't like Him at first. But it's funny because I realized the reason why I don't like Him is people's opinion of Him. I never read the Bible. So when I started to read the Bible and I was like, no, you're the nicest person ever. You love people. There's so many amazing things about Jesus that either I have to believe Him as, like, you know, let me just quote C.S. Lewis says, like, either Lord, liar, or lunatic. I'm sure He is Lord because of the evidence.
How did life change for you after that point? Was it dramatically different, or what happened?
Well, yeah, this is my favorite part. I thought when I become a believer is that at least my heart's not going to feel empty anymore because it is. I already felt the love of God that's just filling my heart. But one thing I have to warn myself is, like, Trace, you're going to be a very boring person. That was my fear, but I'm like, you know what? Might as well be boring but not empty in the inside. But it's not. It's never boring. It's never a dull moment with God. And what happened is that after I became a believer, after I accepted Jesus, it was really amazing journey because for the first time, I don't even realize this until I look back, there's something lift up from me, a freedom to be who I am, that my identity is no longer attached in who, you know, what people say about me, what I have, what I do, who's my family. But for the first time, I'm like, my identity is attached by, I'm redeemed by Jesus. And that freed me to do even more modeling without any heavy weight of trying to be rich or famous. But now I just want to enjoy my work just for one audience, which is God. It just changed the way I behaved, my ambitions, my vision for life. It changes everything.
So if you could go back and tell your 14-year-old self heading off to New York to become a supermodel, if you could tell that girl anything, what would it be?
I would love that little Tracy know Jesus Christ sooner, to live under His grace and to know Jesus as her Savior. Second, save money, don't spend. I was almost shopaholic and I spent so much money. And third, keep in touch with every models that you met. I didn't do that. Yeah.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Tracy.
So
it's
much.
Wonderful to hear your story.
Thank you so much for having me here. Thank you.
From the Centre for Public Christianity, you've been listening to Life and Faith. I'm Simon Smart, and Natasha and I have been speaking with Tracy Trinita, Indonesian supermodel turned Christian apologist. Not your typical career change. For more conversations like this, you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just type Centre for Public Christianity into the search box to find us. And it would help us a lot if you'd leave us a rating or review while you're there.
Next week, we speak with MIT Professor Ian Hutchinson about what we can learn from the sun and the stars. Join us then.